Hey guys, welcome back to the Road to Madness podcast. I'm Matt Giglio.
I'm Mendong. 6 days until the national championship tips off.
6 days left, and we are back amidst all the madness. We decided to take a little break, obviously enjoy the games, and we also had a lot of stuff going on. Don't worry, we watched every single March Madness game thus far. We are down now to the final four. Today is pretty much just going to be a coverage day. We got to cover all the games that have already happened. And later this week, we're going to preview the final four games and the national championship. And maybe cover the NIT as well. That's kicking off later today. But yeah, pretty much just a recap day. And we're going to obviously evaluate our brackets, me and you, after the fact. So let's get to it.
Yeah, we'll tell you right now, there's no perfect brackets. And everyone in our group has a brackets busted. So that's that. But let's just go cover the regions before we get to the final, our final four preview. But let's start out with the South region. Obviously, the one through Alabama. They beat Texas A&M, CC pretty convincingly. Maryland and West Virginia, that was the first game of the tournament. And probably most of the people already got their brackets busted for that game. But Maryland won that game by two. San Diego State beat Charleston. Furman, what a game that was over Virginia, 68-67. This was the first day of March, but this is the second game, man. I was screaming already. I know you were probably too.
Yeah, I was very disappointed. Obviously, I had Virginia going to my Elite Eight. Not my Elite Eight, my Sweet 16. But, yeah, that was the first upset of the tournament. And shout out Furman, man. That was a sick – I don't know what Virginia was thinking. Obviously, we've already – for most of you have probably already seen the clips and stuff like that. But Virginia looked like they had the game, and then Furman just kind of came out of nowhere. And then, obviously, the Clark turnover kind of juxtaposed that. But shout out Furman, man. Really big win for them, and that will definitely help them, I think, for next year as well.
Yeah, huge, huge win for them. Creighton beat NC State. Pretty good game. Baylor beat UC Santa Barbara. Missouri beat Utah State. That was a popular upset game. And one of the big surprises was Princeton, the 15 seed, beating number two Arizona, 59-55. I don't think anybody expected that one. I know I didn't, and I know you didn't either. You're shaking your head because you got Arizona pretty deep.
Yeah, I had them. I switched it. I remember I revealed on my podcast I had Bama going to my final, but I decided to change it and go with Arizona instead, and it really bit me in the behind. But yeah, I remember I had rugby practice, and I was watching the game. I knew it was very close, and I had to go. And then we checked the score during a water break, and everyone went crazy because obviously Princeton beat Arizona, which no one expected. But shout out Princeton, man. Really good season that they had. Spoiler alert, they're not in it anymore, but they definitely turned a lot of heads this year.
Mm-hmm. And we'll go to round 32 in the South now. Alabama beat Maryland pretty convincingly. San Diego State also beat Furman pretty convincingly. Creighton, Baylor. Creighton, I thought they only won by nine, but it felt like it was a 25-point game. And Princeton advanced to the Sweet 16, beating Missouri by 15. So I don't think there were any surprises there. All these games in the round of 32 were pretty one-sided, to say the least, in the South region.
Agreed. Yeah, nothing really surprising. I mean, Creighton over Baylor was a little surprising. No. I mean, for a seed standpoint, I mean, I had Creighton as well winning that game. But obviously, a lot of people had Baylor going pretty far. And, yeah, I mean, Creighton was underseeded. I mean, obviously, the midway – through the year, the injuries really hurt them. But, yeah, Creighton was definitely a very good sixth seed, and they showed it, beating Baylor and going pretty far in this tournament.
Mm-hmm. And now to the Sweet 16 in the South. Alabama lost to San Diego State 71-64. This was a dogfight start to finish, and San Diego State, obviously, they're all dogs. They're all experienced. They're all old, and that definitely got the best out of Alabama. Brandon Miller struggled throughout the whole tournament. That was a key factor as well. And on the other side, it was Creighton convincingly beating Princeton. Princeton didn't make it a game, but Creighton ended up beating them by 11. So what are your thoughts on these two Sweet 16 matchups?
Yeah, two pretty solid games. I mean, San Diego State was a very big surprise. Bama was obviously the number one seed in the whole tournament. and a consensus pick, obviously, for a lot of people around the world. But yeah, San Diego State, man, really shining for the Mountain West. That's big for the Mountain West, getting a team to go very far in this tournament. And that's something that they've really struggled with, the Mountain West Conference in whole. I remember last year they had four teams in it, and no, they had three teams in it, I'm sorry. And I don't think any of them won. Did any of them win? I don't think any of them won their first round games,
nope.
Did they?
Nope.
Because Colorado State lost to Michigan. San Diego State lost to Creighton last year in the first round. And then who was the other team?
Wyoming lost to Indiana.
Indiana, that's correct.
And yeah, there's one more team. Boise State lost to Memphis.
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, Mountain West really did some good things this year. I know they still had four teams this year. And the other three teams lost in the first round, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Boise State lost in the first round. Utah State lost in the first round. And who's the other team that
Nevada
made it?
Nevada in the first four.
Yeah, they're right. So San Diego State really putting off in the Mountain West. Yeah, that's good for them moving forward for that conference.
Mm-hmm. And the Elite Eight game, in my opinion, the most controversial game. Creighton, San Diego State. The winner goes to the Final Four, and San Diego State wins this game 57-56. What a game this was, start to finish. Fantastic 39 minutes and 59 seconds, or 58.8 seconds, but 1.2 seconds left. They called a very close foul call on Ryan Nembhard, and Tramell hit second free throw to lead his team to the Final Four. So what are your thoughts on this game? What are your thoughts on that call? Because I know
obviously.
I'm gonna disagree with that call. I know it, in my opinion, it is a foul, but when you're not calling that for the first 39 minutes and 58 seconds, you shouldn't be calling it with a second left in the game.
Definitely agree. That was a very interesting 1.2 seconds. Personally, obviously it was a foul, but in that standpoint, I would let it play on, go to overtime, and see who wins the game, because I feel like Creighton was really screwed over in that standpoint. I mean, I understand it's the right call. And then you got to even look at the out-of-bounds play. I mean, I was wondering why the game's over. I mean, there was still 0.2 seconds left. I mean, you never know what can happen at 0.2. I think you could still get a lob off if you wanted. You have Cockburn. I mean, Cockburn could catch a lob and win that game on a tip. But, yeah, I mean, that was a very interesting 1.2 seconds to end this game. Really just killed the vibe. I mean, that was a fantastic game. And that 1.2 seconds just really ruined the game for me as a fan of the game. Obviously, I wasn't really pulling for either team, but I really thought that the refs I should have let it play on. For a fan standpoint, I would have loved to see OT for this game, because it was really good down the stretch and very low-scoring game. No one was really making shots, and that was just a really controversial foul. I mean, I understand it, but really just hurt from a fan standpoint in that game.
Mm-hmm. And another thing to point out on Creighton's side is San Diego State had the ball with 37 seconds left, and Creighton had a foul to give, and they decided to give that foul. And I don't understand why they did that. I understand you have a foul to give, but I know if San Diego State scores, you have at least 7 seconds left, but you take the foul, and then all of a sudden there's no more shot clock, since, you know, the shot clock resets 20, but there's less than 20 seconds left. Why would you give that foul? I say you let it play on, get a stop, and you get the ball to end the game. But it is what it is. Congrats to San Diego State for making the Final Four. And I like to say I called this one way back before the season started. I said San Diego State was Final Four good, and you call me crazy. I'll look back at the tape, but I'm pretty sure I said that, and I'm pretty sure Mr. John Fanta called that as well. He said San Diego State his Final Four, and I agreed with him. So I'm gonna run back the tape, and I'm gonna tag him. And yeah,
very nice. And the tournament team for the South Region: Baylor Shireman of Creighton, Ryan Cockbrenner of Creighton, Lamont Butler of San Diego State, Darian Trammell of San Diego State, and Tosin Avudabam of Princeton. Any guys not on that list that you should have expected, or no?
I mean, no. Not really. I mean, I could make a case for Jalen Slauson, but he didn't go that far. So
Langborg? No Langborg? I mean, I guess it has to be one Princeton guy. So, I mean, I guess, but
yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, those five guys balled out. Shout out to them. Obviously, Tramell, the game winner, free throw. So, yeah, first time in franchise or program history that they may get there. So, shout out to the Aztecs. I'll see what they do on Saturday.
Yeah, and shout out Brian Dutcher as well. Waited 57 years of his life to finally be a head coach of a team. He was a associate head coach with Steve Fisher for 25 years and could have taken a job anyway, but decided to wait his turn at San Diego State. And clearly it's paying off. Obviously, 2020 season, they should have been at this position, but obviously COVID killed that. But they're here now, and I think they're going to make the most of it.
Definitely agree. Let's go to the East region now. The East region was a very interesting region as well. Really, this was the chaos region if I had to pick one. And I think we both said that this was going to be the chaos region as well, and it ended up prevailing. So let's start with history. As the one seed Purdue, 29-5 in the year, looking like one of the best teams in college basketball. Obviously, they were one seed. They lost to a 16 seed out of the NEC. Fairleigh Dickinson takes down Purdue. History has been made once again. Fun fact, I was actually on the plane watching this game, and I was losing my mind on the plane. It was awesome. Took a picture. It was awesome. Shout out to FDU, Tobin Anderson. What a job he did. FDU advanced. Memphis and FAU, the 8-9 matchup. A very close game and a tough
game. Another controversial call.
I agree. And this one hurt for me because I had Memphis, obviously, going to my Final Four, and FAU ended up winning this game 66-65. Duke, Oral Roberts, 5-12. This one was a one-sided game. It was Duke all over. Shout out Max Asmus, though. Obviously, probably done at Oral Roberts. Did you know if he's coming back or not? Did they say or no?
He's got another year, but his coach is gone. We'll go over that after the tournament.
Yep. So we'll see what he does. 4-seed Tennessee and the 13-seed Louisiana. A very close game. Tennessee, they definitely had some struggles against Jordan Brown. But I ended up winning this game. Pretty good stuff for them. Kentucky, Providence, 6-11. Kentucky ended up winning this game. Ed Cooley, obviously, that was his last game as a Providence Friar. We'll tell you where he went at the end of the tournament, unless you don't know already. Kansas State, Montana State, 4-3-14 matchup. This was all Kansas State. Montana State had held their own. I mean, they only lost by 12. But, yeah, Kansas State won this game convincingly. Michigan State, USC, another kind of lopsided game. It was Sparty all over. 72-62. Finally, Marquette, Vermont. Shout out Vermont. I mean, Vermont held their own the first half, but Marquette was just a little bit too overpowered, and Marquette won 78-61. Your thoughts on the first round?
Not really surprised with any of the results other than the Purdue Fairleigh Dickinson game. That's the worst loss in it. I mean, this is the biggest upset in the history there. Fairleigh Dickinson, all metrics, is a bottom 25 team in the country, and go on and beat arguably the best team in the country. And obviously, when your average height is 6'2", and Purdue stars a 7'4" big man, it just makes it even more impressive. And yeah, that's crazy. But all these other results, I'm not really too surprised with. I knew Duke was going to blow out Oral Roberts. Some people are telling me no, but man,
I agree.
You're crazy of you, but. Duke, you can't really bet against that.
And we'll move to the second round. Obviously, hard over height for FDU. I fell a little bit short in that second round. Lost by 8 to FAU. FAU, the 9th seed. Really good season for them. We'll talk about them soon. 5-seed Duke, 4-seed Tennessee. It was all Tennessee. How do you pronounce his last name?
Who?
Mukamura. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Who? All.
Yeah.
I'm Tennessee?
Yeah.
Nakamura.
No, I thought it was like a Nukamura or something. Yeah, Nakamura, legacy game for him, 30 points in the win against Duke. Shout out to them. Kentucky and Kansas State. Kansas State, a little bit overpowered, man. Marquise Noel and Keontae Johnson, one of the best duos in this tournament. And Kansas State won by 6. Finally, Michigan State and Marquette, 7-2 matchup. It was all Sparty, and Sparty looked really good. And they won that game 69-60. I did call this upset. Shout out me. But shout out to Marquette and Shaka Smart. Very good season. Obviously not the result they wanted, but still got to look at the positives rather than the negatives. And Marquette was very good this year. Your thoughts on the second round games from the East?
No surprises at all. I thought Tennessee's physicality was going to outlast Duke, and it was. People are saying it's a dirty game. That's just basketball, man. That's what happens when you're freshman playing all these seniors out there. You know, the physicality of seniors is so much different than physicality of freshmen, and that's just basketball nowadays. And Marquette will be back. I'm sure they will be back. They got zero guys graduating. Zero guys so far have entered the portal. So,
Not true.
Who's entered the portal?
Some low guys. I saw it the other day, but
all right.
No one in the rotation. Yeah, no key guy in the rotation.
Zero guy. Let me rephrase that. Zero guys of significance have entered the portal. But Marquette will be back. I'm sure of that next year. And Sparty, man, they're a good team. So zero surprises. I thought Sparty won that game, and I don't think that was a surprise, even though I have Marquette in my national championship.
And we moved to Sweet 16. It was the 9 seed FAU and the 4 seed Tennessee. It looked to be all Tennessee until the 7-minute mark in the second half, and FAU went on a run, and that run won them the game, 62-55. FAU, obviously the 9 seed, making it very far. Very good team, obviously. Bryant played them, and you seem to know all the intel on FAU, but you seem that they're a very good team, and they showed it against your Vols, and the Vols can't go dancing once again. And a 3-seed Kansas State and a 7-seed Michigan State, the game of the tournament, maybe. I'd say it was a 98-93 OT win for Kansas State. This was a fantastic game, and Marquise Noel broke the record for assists in a March Madness game with 19. He almost had a 2020 game with assists and points. That's absolutely phenomenal. He definitely turned a lot of heads at Madison Square Garden. Michigan State, man, did really good. Just unfortunate that they had to play a team like Kansas State, because if they played, I think, anyone else, I think they probably would have had a chance to win. But it was Kansas State's night, and that brings us to an FAU-Kansas State with an Elite Eight game. What are your thoughts on the Sweet 16 game, Joe?
Yeah, you can see contrast of styles. So Tennessee, FAU, they both like to slow it down, or Tennessee at least, but the game was clear. You know, the pace was clear that Tennessee's control. It's just FAU executing more. Good win for them. And you saw compared to the other game. The other game was a lot more entertaining. And the public and, a basic basketball viewer, you're going to like the Kansas State game more because it's fast. There's a lot of buckets going. And that game was just entertaining. But I'm a big fan of the slow-paced games where you have to grind out wins. So obviously I prefer those type of games. I know you don't. You're giving me
absolutely not.
that's old school basketball, man. I'm teaching my younger kids how to play like that, man. Just got to be dogs on defense. But yeah, two contrast of styles in both games. That's just the beauty of college basketball.
Agreed, and we saw that in display in the Elite Eight game. It was FAU the 9 seed and the 3 seed of Kansas State. This game was a little bit more high scoring for FAU's sake. They won this game 79-76. Great game. And Elijah Martin and a company, Dusty May and company, FAU going dancing. Furthest they've ever been. Conference USA has really shown themselves this year. I know they only have one team in the tournament, but you look at North Texas, you look at UAB, you look at this team, you look at Charlotte. The Conference USA is a conference that's on the rise. And We've been very invested in the Conference USA past couple of years. Obviously, there's a lot of great guys that have come out of that conference. But, yeah, really just shows that this conference can compete with anyone in the nation. And FAU, the 9 seed going dancing. Well, and they'll play San Diego State on Saturday. What are your thoughts on that game? That game was really good.
Yeah, phenomenal game. I'm still shocked that FAU made the Final Four. And I could almost certainly guarantee if I was a head coach of any of these games, they'd be out in the first round, but that's besides the point. That's March Madness for you. Dusty May's done a terrific job. Obviously, Florida Atlantic, probably one of the worst jobs in the Conference USA revenue-wise, but he's got it. He did it. And the Conference USA, man, is balling out still. We'll go over to NIT Final Four, which tips off soon today at the end of the conclusion of this as well. But if you put four teams in the Conference USA and you place them with the Mountain West, I guarantee the Conference USA would get more wins than the Mountain West. And you're basically just replacing North Texas, UAB, and Charlotte with Utah State, Nevada, and Boise State. I think North Texas and UAB can win at least one game, in my opinion.
Interesting
I
take.
mean, they've done it before, so.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely not out of the ordinary. Definitely not out of the realm of possibility. I agree. But that East Region All-Tournament team, Keontae Johnson, Kansas State, Marquise Noel of Kansas State, Jonnell Davis of FAU, Vlad Golden of FAU, and A.J. Hoggard of Michigan State. Any snubs there?
No. Those guys
Yeah.
balled out.
Maybe Tyson Walker. Instead of Hogard, but I think Hogard was the more consistent player for Sparty this year, so definitely like it.
And we'll go to the Midwest next. The one seed in this region, Houston, they survive a scare against Northern Kentucky, only beat them by 11. The 8-9 matchup, Iowa and Auburn. Auburn beats Iowa by 8 in essentially what was a home game. Miami survives a scare against Drake, beats them by 7. Indiana beats Kent State, who was in my Final Four, by 11. Pittsburgh and Iowa State, probably the worst game in all of March Madness history. And there was a lot of bad games, but this one was just hoop. 59-41 final score. Xavier and Kennesaw State, what a game this was. Kennesaw State was under control for the first 36 minutes of the game, and something happened under four timeout where Xavier just went on a run and won. Penn State destroys Texas A&M by 17. So Texas A&M may be fraudulent, but that's non-conference schedule they played. It was a very fraudulent non-conference schedule. And your team, Texas, destroys Colgate by 20. What are your thoughts on the first round?
Yeah, obviously some very good games in there. The Drake and Miami game was pretty good. Drake was leading for a good amount, and Miami has a really good resiliency, and that's something we've seen throughout this tournament this year for them. And even without Nort Chattermere in this game, they still got – oh, no, Nort Chattermere played in this game. But still, they got it done. Kent State held their own for the most part, and then Indiana just kind of showed them up. I really want Kennesaw State to win. I would have loved that for mid-major lovers in the A-Sun. But Xavier kind of found the rhythm at the end of that game and obviously ended up winning that one. Andrew Funk masterclass against Texas A&M. I think it was Jimmer Fredette in disguise. I mean, that dude had like six or seven threes or something like that. He was absolutely ballistic. And, these are pretty good games, though. That Houston game was a little bit closer than the score shows. I know they won by 11, but Northern Kentucky was in that game for 15 of the 20 minutes. So shout out to them. Really good stuff for them. Pretty good games from this Midwest region. But let's go to the next round.
Round 32, Houston destroys Auburn and ends Auburn's fraudulent season, destroys them by 17. Miami destroyed Indiana, 85-69. Was not expecting that, I'll tell you that. Pitt and Xavier prevails in a very good matchup. Lots of three-point shooting as well. And Penn State made it a game against Texas, but Texas wins by 5. What are your thoughts on those four games?
Yeah, no real surprises here. Indiana thought they were going to be a little bit better than that, but Miami kind of showed them up. But other than that, not really any surprises. Shout out to Jorge Diaz-Graham. He was pretty good this
no,
tournament.
Men
does not like the Diaz-Graham.
I am the biggest Diaz-Graham Twins hater you will ever see. And there was a TikTok saying there's not one, but two Chet Holmgren's. That made me mad.
That kind of do look like Chet Holmgren. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, so let's get to the Sweet 16 now. Miami beats Houston 89-75. Houston had a lot of expectations this season. And this is a pretty disappointing end. I mean, they were never healthy throughout the whole year, I'd say. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, they were never really truly healthy, and so, that's just disappointing.
Yeah, they never reached their ceiling. I feel like the Sweet 16 was their floor, and Calvin Sampson, another phenomenal job in Houston. And on the other side of the bracket, Texas beats Xavier 83-71. I feel like Texas should have blown them out by like 25.
They did. The score doesn't show that. Yeah, they absolutely killed them.
Reflect that score. But what are your thoughts on these two games?
Yeah, those are two good games. Miami, once again, really resilient. Houston was in that game. I think Houston was maybe winning at halftime, and then Miami just kind of came out in the second half and exploded the doors open. And for Houston, disappointing once again. If they were to make it to Houston for the Final Four, I think Houston – would have had a very good chance to win it all, because I think that's why a lot of people probably picked Houston, because the national championship's in Houston, and that's pretty much a home court advantage for them. But yeah, Miami obviously took care of that. And Texas, the score showed Texas dominated a little bit more than that. But Xavier was a pretty good team. I honestly liked Xavier. I liked Jack Nungy. I like Adam Cooknell. I liked a lot of those guys in that Xavier team. But Texas is just the better team in that case. So hook 'em horns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hook those horns indeed. We'll get to Elite Eight where they played Miami. And I know you have a lot to say. Miami makes it out of the Midwest into the Final Four. They win 88-81. And heartbreak for you. Texas was in control for the first, I'd say, up until the
32
I'd
minutes.
Say, yeah, I say Miami started their run after the under eight timeout. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's just disappointing. Obviously, I had Texas win it all. And they definitely did good this year. Not great. I thought they could have did a little bit better. But, yeah, I mean, a couple stupid fouls here and there, a couple controversial fouls here and there. The Marcus Carr foul at half court, I don't know why he decided to foul. They were down two. They could have played it out. And then the Brock Cunningham box out, I don't know really what the call was on that or why they changed the call. I mean, he was boxing him out. I know he jumped, but, like, he was just having a good box out. I'm a very big dude. But, yeah, it's just disappointing. I thought they had the game for the first 33 minutes, 32 minutes. And then after the Poplar hit Allen on the back and scored the layup on the inbounds play, that's where the gears shifted. And I knew Miami was going to come back. I knew that the 13-point lead for Texas wasn't safe, but I didn't think Miami would storm back that hard and win this game by seven. So, yeah, it's disappointing for a Texas fan, but just have to have hope that we'll be back next year. And shout out Rodney Terry, obviously an interim head coach, did a phenomenal job, and he got a 5-year contract because of it. So shout out to him, and shout out to the Horns. Hopefully they do good stuff next year.
Definitely. And for Miami, obviously all those NIL deals paid off, and you could just tell they were good, man. I mean, four guards and Orchard O'Meara, who's an undersized big, so they're playing small ball. Jim Larranaga, second of his programs to make it to the Final Four 17 years ago that day. Took George Mason to the Final Four on a Cinderella run. That was truly the first Cinderella run in all of college, or March Madness history, I should say. And he's done it again with Miami, and they'll be playing the winner of the West region. So would you like to cover that?
Well, first I would like to cover the Midwest region team. Nigel Pack of Miami, Isaiah Wong of Miami, Jordan Miller of Miami, who had the most efficient game ever since, like, Christian Leitner, I think it was. He didn't miss a shot from the free throw line or the field. So shout out to Jordan Miller. Timmy Allen of Texas and Marcus Carr of Texas. Any snubs there?
Yeah, Dylan Dessou.
Yeah, if Dessou didn't get hurt, I think that game would have been a lot different. That really hurt Texas. That's a big man lost. I know Bishop did pretty good, but if Dessou was playing, I think Texas could have won that game and would have closed them out. But it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. Serge Ibaka-Rice could also maybe be on there as well. But, yeah, let's keep moving forward to the West. Start with the 1-seed Kansas and the 16th seed Howard. Kansas won this game by 28 pretty convincingly. Shout out Shai Odom, though. He had a pretty good game for Texas. I mean, not Texas, Howard. Next game up was Arkansas, Illinois. Arkansas won this game by 10. Not really a close game there. St. Mary's, VCU. I know Ace Baldwin got hurt, which kind of hurt VCU's chances. St. Mary's won by 12. UConn smoked Iona. Not really a close game in the second half. First half, it was pretty close. TCU, Arizona State, another very close game. Arizona State, obviously coming out of the first four, almost took out TCU, which is one of your favorites. But TCU wins by 2. Gonzaga kind of took care of business against Grand Canyon, 3-14 matchup. Northwestern smoked Boise State. Not smoked, but it seemed like they had control of that game for the full 40 minutes. And UCLA smoked UNC Asheville, 86-53. Your thoughts on these games?
Chalk. That's the one word I'll say. It's just all chalk. I mean, the TCU game, that was a very good game. Jacoby Cole's game winner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's chalk mainly.
And speaking of chalk, the chalk runs dry here. And the 1-seed Kansas falls to the 8-seed, Must Bus in Arkansas, 72-71. Great win for the Must Bus. And Arkansas is very consistent in the Sweet 16. That's been a trend the past couple of years. Five seed St. Mary's loses to UConn 70-55. UConn, very big point differential in their first two games as well as their next two games. Spoiler alert. TCU, Gonzaga. Gonzaga won this game by three. TCU hit a like, half-court buzzer beater to lose by just three. So shout out to TCU, I guess. But yeah, Gonzaga, Timmy pretty much controlled that game. Northwestern and UCLA, relatively close. UCLA, though, wins by five. Any surprises here besides Kansas?
No, but I did delete my my ESPN app after Kansas lost. I'll just tell you that. And TCU, I thought, played a very phenomenal game. It's just Gonzaga executed at the end when it mattered most.
Agreed. Brings us to the Sweet 16 from the West. Arkansas and UConn. UConn smokes Arkansas, wins this game by 23. UConn has, like I said, the point differential is absolutely ballistic for them. This game was very poor to watch. And finally, Gonzaga-UCLA was a very good game to watch. Julian Strother hits a game go-ahead three pretty much, and that seals the deal as Gonzaga wins 79-76. Drew Timmy, masterclass game. I think he had like 35 and 10, something like that. What are your thoughts on these two?
Yeah, UConn is just very good, man. They execute on both ends of the floor. And that was just a blowout from the start. And what a game this Gonzaga UCLA was. Adam Bona was playing. I'd see. I feel like the result would be different, but he didn't. And that was such a great game. Strother pulled up from the logo off the handoff, and I was like, what? And he made it. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, Villanova flashbacks. That was the exact same play that Villanova drew up to win their March Madness championship game against UNC. And finally, the Elite Eight game from the West, it was UConn and Gonzaga. UConn won this game 82-54. This was another very poor game to watch. You and I watched this one together, but we got pretty bored after the first 20 minutes. What are your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, not much needs to be said. UConn is just a phenomenal team. And I was giving most of the analysts hate for because they all put UConn in the Final Four. And I was like, I see. You might be – no wonder why you work for ESPN and I don't because UConn's your Final Four.
Hey, man, I picked UConn to go to my Final Four as well. So a little pat on my back. Yes, I did beat you in the bracket challenge this year. That is 2 years in a row for your boy. So get better brackets. But, yeah, the West Region Tournament team, Jordan Hawkins of UConn, Adama Sanogo of UConn, Drew Timmy of Gonzaga, Julian Strother of Gonzaga, and Jaime Jaquez Jr. of UCLA. Any snubs? Probably not.
No, probably the best five of the regions.
I agree. And that brings us to our Final Four. The five seed San Diego State from the South, the 9 seed FAU from the East, the 5 seed Miami from the Midwest, and the 4 seed UConn from the West. That is no top 3 seeds for the first time ever making it to the Final Four. No McDonald's All-America players in high school for the first time ever making it to the Final Four. This has been the most bizarre March Madness tournament this year, and the gift keeps on giving on Saturday when these two, four teams match up.
Mm-hmm. And my pick, obviously, these four teams show that it's all experience over hype. They're all experienced, and not many freshmen on this team. But my winner of San Diego State FAU, I'm going to go San Diego State to the national championship. And I'll be going with, I'll call it an upset. I'm going to go with Miami beating UConn. So that'll be San Diego State versus Miami. And I'm going with those dogs. San Diego State winning the national championship.
Interesting. I mean, personally, for me, I'm rooting for FAU to win the whole thing.
No, I'm not. They're so beatable, man. I can show you. I don't got my notebook. They're so beatable, man.
But you're not going to root for some dogs, the 9 seed? I would love a 9 seed.
I'm rooting for San Diego State, man.
I'm rooting for FAU, but however, I do think San Diego State will win this game. And UConn-Miami, I think this could be another very good game, but I'm going to go UConn. And that brings me to a 4-5 matchup, San Diego State versus UConn. I will be going with UConn to win the national championship. I know that's pretty chalk, but whatever. This whole tournament has been anything but chalk this year. So, yeah, Final Four obviously tips off Saturday. Do you want to cover the NIT really quick?
Yeah, the NIT. Four teams left. North Texas versus Wisconsin. And then that's on one side. The other side, Utah Valley versus UAB. So half half the teams left are Conference USA teams who you got winning the semifinals and eventually the finals.
Yeah, these should be two very good games, tipping off at 7 and 9:30 respectively. But I would love to see Wisconsin do some stuff. I know I kind of hopped off the Wisconsin train, but I'm going to go with North Texas to win this game, and I'm going to go with Utah Valley to win this game. I really like Utah Valley this year. They really turned my eyes. And even losing Fardaz Imak, they're still a very good team from the WAC. But if I had to pick a winner, I'm going to pick North Texas to win it all. This team's very good, and they almost made the tournament themselves as a what's it called? Not an auto bid.
At large.
Yeah, at large. Thank you. But, Conference USA, I hope they can get the Triple Crown. That'd be pretty cool. FAU, North Texas or UAB, and obviously Charlotte in their respective tournaments. So I'm going to go North Texas, win that, and get them two out of the three, hopefully,
yeah,
maybe.
I'll wish for FAU if North Texas or UAB win the NIT for the Triple Crown, because that would be cool to see. But if they don't win, I'm rooting for San Diego State. But I'm expecting a Conference USA NIT final here with UAB and North Texas. I have them both parlayed. I have North Texas -1.5 and UAB -2.5, which I think both offer tremendous value in my opinion. And I got North Texas winning the rubber match between the two amazing teams in the UConn Conference USA.
Definitely agree. And I think that is all we have for today's episode. A lot of good basketball today, and obviously Saturday, the big day for hoops. We'll probably be back on Sunday to cover the results of the Final Four games as well as the NIT champion. But yeah, until then, just going to kind of evaluate the news that's coming in. A lot of guys entering the portal, a lot of big names entering the portal. Once the tournament's over, we'll probably start covering that probably next Wednesday or next Tuesday maybe. But yeah, a lot of good stuff coming up in the off season. Can't wait for that. But for now, we got some games Saturday, some games today, and some games Thursday to cover. So the tournament is not over. I know it's coming to the end, which is unfortunate. The March Madness lives on forever. So any final thoughts from you?
Yeah, what a tremendous tournament this has been so far. And this is year three of the podcast. I had a memory 3 years ago today. We were on episode 2, and now we're on episode 295, which is pretty ridiculous, man. That's crazy. I feel old.
Yeah, I know. We're growing as the podcast is. But, almost hitting 300 soon. I really do appreciate everyone that has hopped on the train, especially this year. We've definitely seen a lot of growth in our viewers and our followers and all that good stuff. So we really do appreciate everybody. But that is all we got for today's episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, it's always March, baby.
It's always March, baby. Thank you guys for tuning in. Horns down.